I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you. And I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your breath. I am with you more than you know. come to you, lifting up my hands, and in the name of Jesus, by your grace I stand, just because you love me.
I just want us to close our eyes. I just want to immerse each of us, ourselves, in Father's unending love. So just do that right now. Father, we just come and we just throw ourselves into the depths of your love. And we desire nothing more than to just be absolutely encompassed and filled up and waterlogged in your love. We pray that in Jesus' name.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called me. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer slave. See, so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and see. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am no victim. I live with a vision. I'm covered by the force of love, covered in my Savior's blood. I am no found a home. He's not just reviving, he's not simply restoring. Greater things things have yet to come. Greater things have yet to come. He is my Father. I will not wonder if His plans for me are good, if He'll come through like He should, 'cause He is provision and enough wisdom to usher in my brightest days, to turn my mourning into praise. He's not just reviving, He's not simply restoring. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things have yet to come. Says I am. He is who He says He is. I'm defined by all His promises, shaped by every word He says. Oh, I am who He says I am. He is who He says He is. I'm defined by all His promises, shaped by every word He says. I am. Says I am. He is who He says He is. I'm defined by all His promises, shaped by every word He says. Oh, I am no victim. I live with a vision. I'm covered by the force of love. I'm covered in my Savior's blood. I am no orphan. I'm not a poor man. The kingdom's now become my own. With the kingdom and my own. Promises shaped by every word He says. Oh, I am who He says I am. He is who He says He is. I'm defined by all His promises, shaped by every word He says. He is my Father. His provision and enough wisdom. I am no victim.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So lift your eyes to heaven, There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Powers, mercy, and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. You're tired and you're thirsty. There is freedom. So give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Just give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So lift your eyes to heaven, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven, there is freedom, there is freedom. Jesus only did what he saw you do. Spirit. So how could I expect to walk without you? When every move that Jesus made was in surrender, I will not begin to walk without you. For you alone are worthy, and you are always good. You are always good. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. Though the world sees and soon forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done. Though the world sees and soon forget, we will not forget who you are, what you've done for us, what you've done for us. Though the world sees and soon forget, we will not forget who you are, what you've done for us, what you've done. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. What you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray.
May that become a reality of our lives, the reality of our lives, that we would continually and constantly and faithfully be those who speak what you're speaking and do what you're doing and focus on what you're focused on. Teach us, draw us into that place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a couple of announcements that we should consider this morning. One is that most of you know, or many of you know, Doug and Beege Merritt. Beege is in critical condition, and we should keep Doug and Beege in prayer. And they're in Chattanooga, Tennessee right now. And Doug and Beege are in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Beege is in critical condition and needs a miracle from God. Doug could use one too. And so we'd like to pray for them this morning. Shall we do that right off? We acknowledge, Father, that you are a God who is love and who loves with a father's love. And this morning as we gather here, we would release your grace to Doug and Beege down there. We call upon you to release power for healing, power for hope, new days and new beginnings. We release the abundant grace of God to Doug and to Beege in this hour of extreme need. We speak life and hope into their situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Second item of information, just for those of you that remember or know Wes Reed, Wes's mom died, and there will be a memorial service in Lyon Assembly, calling hours between 3 and 5 on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, funeral following at 5 p.m. Those of you that know Wes Reed and the family know that they have been a faithful and godly influence in the county for many years, and so the loss is real. And we need to cover them with prayer as they move on with their lives. Yeah. Say again? Yes. Chris Timmerman's dad also passed away. Chris Timmerman attends here. You may recall the guy that stands out back there, often in the back, heavyset guy. Desperately needs the comfort and the strength that only God can provide in this hour. The whole family, of course, is upset. It kind of shakes the tree. And so I just wonder if, Jocelyn, would you just pray this morning for Chris? And you take that off.
Without breaking it?
Without breaking it. It doesn't work well.
Lord, I do lift up the Timmerman family to you and ask that you would be with them. We ask, Lord, that your presence would just fill their house and that the Comforter would come and introduce himself to them and that they would be in a position to receive that. Lord, we ask that you would cover them with your protection and with all of who you are, that they would receive that in mighty ways. Lord, I also ask that you would give the kids now wisdom on how to handle all of the affairs that need to be taken care of. The overwhelming feeling that they have, Lord, I ask that you would exchange it for your own wisdom and your peace. We bless them in your name. We ask that you would cover them in your blood. Keep them surrounded. We ask healing as they go through the whole process. Flood their house, Lord, with your presence. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. This morning I'd like to talk with you a little bit about the beginnings of Christian faith. And before we go there, I'd like to have George back in here. Could somebody rescue George from wherever he is? Oh, you're here. Okay. I thought he got raptured or something, you know. I understand.
How could you do that to me?
You may have noticed that we are in a bit of a change, a time of radical change for the fellowship. We've lost a few people. We didn't lose them. They've moved on to better places. And it's we're at a new beginning. It's a new opportunity to start over again. And this morning I'd like to talk about starting over. Starting over indicates a change. And to start over again, which requires change, almost always requires change. I don't know if you ever can start over again where you started X number of years ago. Change or transition, it's hard. Change is difficult. It's harder. The older you are, the harder it are. But change is upon us. Whether we like it or not, we need to address ourselves to the need to change. I'd like to talk to you this morning just briefly about the most serious element that we need to embrace to move forward in the Christian faith. And I would like it to be as simple as I can make it, and it is simple. It has to do with believing that God is who he says he is. It begins with believing that God is love. Yeah, he's the creator. He put it all together. He created you. You were not a biological accident. It isn't just a biological accident of a sperm and egg and then Mother Nature took care of all the rest. I mean, that is the utmost of stupidity. Father God is a creator who is involved with every creative act on the face of the earth and throughout the entire universe. And if there's something beyond the universe, he's also involved in that. It's sort of a contradiction of terms to say something beyond the universe because we're talking about the one, and then we said something beyond the one, you know. But anyway, he is the creator, and he is involved, always involved in creation. His creative works relating to you did not end at the moment the body came out of the mother's womb. His creative work continues and has continued all your life long in many areas, your mind, will, and emotions, your body, your spiritual life. He is involved. The Creator is involved in your life from beyond before you were born, before you were conceived. By the way, this week I'm turning 77, but I realize that relates to my birth. I'm much older than that. This week, I will be 9 months older than my birth date because I believe that I was created 9 months earlier. I'm already 77 plus 8.5 months old because that happens to be the truth. But if you want to count birthdays, you'll have to say my birthday is coming up. But the Creator has been involved in my life from before I was born, before I was conceived. He was already creating. He had written in his book, okay, here comes George B. Osborne, and here's a few thoughts. And his book listed a few thoughts about my life from day one. And then having written them in his book, according to Psalms 139, in case you don't know, the Bible does teach that. Then he becomes involved in the formation, the accomplishment of those plans that he wrote down in his book. He didn't quit in his creative work when I was born. It may be that he won't quit until I step onto the eternal side of things. He's busy creating. And his interest is, listen, I want you to get this, his interest is in creating new areas of life and reality for each of you. Not just physically, but specifically and most definitely spiritually. He wants to bring forth realities, spiritual realities, that you've maybe heard about, or don't even know about. The Creator is at work. I want you to say, the Creator is at work in my life. Now. He is at work now. That's a reality. So I came to church to hear that. I want you to know that if you don't believe that, you're in serious trouble. That is like a basic, necessary, important reality. A second, and maybe this is the first, and maybe that's the second. The first is that God is love. and that he loves me. He loves you. And he's at work, of course, to accomplish the good that love sees. And the thing that I think that we desperately need to get a hold of is in the beginning of a new day is that this Creator God loves you with an everlasting love. He doesn't love you more on Mondays or Tuesdays. You may need it more on Mondays and Tuesdays. But his love is perfect and complete every moment of every day, of every hour. And that love is stirring him to create in you new life, new spiritual realities, to bring you into the fullness of his plan. Do you see, his love is the motivational force to bring forth his purposes in your life.
Let me just say real briefly that it's not simply that his love has a purpose for you today and ongoingly. His love was the reason you existed in the first place, okay? It wasn't... So Dad says, you know, he intentionally conceived you. He intentionally conceived you out of love for you. He intentionally brought you into existence. Let me just say, we often understand things from a time-like basis, right? Because we live in time, and we think everything is time, and it's not. The truth is, everything is eternity, and a very, very, very small subset of reality is in time. So here we are in time, and we think that our beginning is in time. But our beginning is actually in eternity, number one. And number two, how do we even conceive of ourselves with respect to eternity? Recognize again, the whole of space and time is so small, it's a speck in the hand of the Creator. That's all of space and time. And within that space and time, someplace along there's a little speck where you were created in time. But what about in eternity? What about in eternity? You were conceived of before the foundations of the world. He actually knew he was planning to have you. And it was because he decided he wanted to love you that he decided to create you. In fact, it was because he decided he wants to love you that he created the universe. The space-time that we typically consider the universe. It was love that generated you. I enjoy listening to all sorts of philosophical stuff and this and that. And there's those that argue that it's immoral to bring people into existence, i.e. it's immoral to have children, because there's so much suffering. If you didn't bring them into the world, there would be no suffering. It's a dumb, reasonable argument, depending on your presuppositions, your assumptions. But if you assume that there's a loving God, and if you understand and you know that this loving God is intimately involved in the creation of a person, otherwise it doesn't happen, then you can know that the gift of our being comes straight out of the loving heart of the Father, because he gives us opportunity, yes, to receive his love. I don't know exactly where Dad's going. Yes, to receive his love. Yes, to be changed by his love. Yes, to be reflectors and promoters of his love. Yes, to impact space and time. And yes, to impact eternity. The reality is, out of incredible love, God created this. And within this, he created you. Because of incredible, just enormous, eternal love that you can't estimate. Okay, you can't measure this. Out of goodness that you don't have a measuring stick big enough to measure with, he created you to love you, to promote you, to release his love through you. If you think you understand that, then you didn't listen to what I just said. It was too big. It's too big to understand. And yet it's that big, his goodness and his love toward you. I'm sorry, I don't know if I took you out of bounds, but
no,
that's
cool.
Thinking.
God amazes me that he can be loving me when I'm not lovable. He loves me through it.
His love is not contingent at all on how lovable we are or are not. And it's good that you know you're not lovable, Stella. It's good for all of us to know that we are not all that lovable by times. And yet, we are lovable to the one who loves us perfectly. And in the midst of our most unlovable moments, he says, oh, I love that girl. And the whole angelic world is scratching their feathers and saying, how can he love Estella? And God says, you haven't got a clue about love until you know my heart.
Because he created Estella uniquely and beautifully for his good purposes. I don't know where you're going, okay? I'm sorry for interrupting, but can I read a verse?
Read a verse.
This is a verse you guys have all heard before, and I just want you to hear it a little differently in this context, okay? You were created by love, for love, to love. Okay? By love, for love, to love. Got it? Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and my sisters, by the mercies of God, to present first, I just want to point out, this is the first thing I want you to present your bodies, okay, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Notice, when he created you, he gave you a body. And he says, here, this is for you. And you say, yeah, good, this is for you. A holy, acceptable, living sacrifice, which is only sensible, okay? This says your spiritual service of worship. Really, it means your logical service of worship. It's only sensible that you would sacrifice your very body to the one in worship because of who he is and because of his love for you. So I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Because that was number one. And number two, and don't be conformed to this world. Don't be shaped like this world, okay? Don't take on the shape of this world, but be reshaped, transformed, be completely reshaped by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so now he says, first of all, give me your body, and second of all, I want your mind, okay? And that's what he's saying here. And do not be shaped like this world, but should be shaped differently, transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? Why? Why all of this? Why should you do the body death thing? Why should your brain and mind and emotions be reshaped into the shape of God? Why? So that you personally, may prove what the will of God is. What the will of God is for you personally, in particular. See, your body dies, is a living sacrifice, and your mind is reformed, reconfigured to reflect his, so that you can prove something. This very thing that we're talking about. So that you can prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, he has this perfection. And he has you in the middle of it. And he says, here's how you do it. You give me back your body. You give me back your mind. Make your mind transformed. Formed in across dimensions into an alternate truth and reality that's connected with God. Transformed into his shape. So that you can prove. So you can prove. Remember the previous, it's only logical that you would give your body back. And it's only logical that people would see this person is transformed, this person is other shaped, shaped like a holy thing, an other thing. And you prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's only sensible to do these things. It's the only legitimate, understandable, acceptable approach to life. Change, change, change. Body change, mind change. You say it was simple. How did you say it was simple? I think it's complicated. How do you say it's simple?
Well, you get a complicated view of the human race. I'm going to talk about this one thing, and we're going to come back to the beginning. I'm going to talk about one thing. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I'll just read one of the other verse. For the whole law is fulfilled in the one word, and it's that statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God, when he created us, body, soul, and spirit, then set us free to do whatever we wanted. And what George is saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. God says, I'm asking you, a living sacrifice, present, give back to God your bodies. Let him renew your mind in order to discover his ultimate purpose for you. But before all that, he gave you freedom. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. And there is one significant, one together with others, significant reason why you should. Or maybe you might think about it. And this is the significant thing we've got to get a hold of. God loves Estella perfectly. He created Estella for a very real role in life. Not only in time, but for eternity. He's just smart enough to have a perfect plan for Estella. As screwed up as she is, he has a perfect plan for her, and his desire is for her to choose to step into that plan. She doesn't have to. He said, go jump. I don't know where God would jump from and where he'd land if he jumped, but the question is, will Estella make the choice? And here's the underlying crux. Will Estella believe that God loves her and is smart enough to have a perfect plan for her life?
But essentially, when I do something stupid, how can he still love me? Was that the crux of what you said? When I do something unlovable.
When I'm unlovable.
Did he know that before she was conceived? And did he take that moment of unlovable moment and go, and I get to love her a little extra to fix that? And when I fix things, you know, my deck is broken, and so I slap a 2x4 and I screw it on, and it kind of looks ugly, but it's holding. That's not how God fixes our unlovable. He reaches in and he loves that unlovable and heals it probably better than, I mean, that's how he heals bones, right? Broken bone is stronger after it's broken and healed, right? That's my understanding. That's a God thing. He goes, ah, sweet girl. So unlovable right there. Don't you just love it? Because now I get to reach in love and heal the unlovable. And that can be strong. But you get to choose that. And that's the kind of love that we don't understand. And that's why we think there is such a word as unlovable.
That's right. We think. Let me just say, when we say a word unlovable, let me say that within the sphere of space-time, perhaps you and I could agree that, you know, somebody could be so awful as to be unlovable. We could just imagine that. But that's us as finite thingy bobs inside a finite thingy bob talking finite things. There's an eternal God that when he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, the love that he's talking about You can't fit a something inside of this little tiny thing that he can't love. You can't do it. He'll love it. His love is bigger and more powerful and stronger and more... It's eternal. It's not something trivial that could even fit inside this sphere. It can't fit in here. Now, maybe it can't fit in there, but it'll go right through it. It'll go right through it, and it'll get it. And it'll love what we would consider unlovable. That's not even a word. That word is not an eternal word. It's a dumb space-time word. It's a worldly world. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove something different.
So if he was thinking about us before the creation of the world, why would he have made something, if he's love, why would he have made anything that he wasn't going to love all the way through? So he saw it all in the beginning and then created you anyway. Yeah, before you were. So he wouldn't have done it.
And he did love you. And he did understand your weakness. He remembers that you're dust. And that Estella is just mud. Oh, she wants the mic. Now we're in trouble.
Because I still have the freedom to choose. I recognize unlovable and choose away from it.
Yes.
And run to God.
Yes.
And His pleasure is in my choice.
Oh, there is great pleasure in His heart whenever Estella says, I choose you. Can you imagine the pleasure of the Father every time one of His kids say, I choose you? We're not talking about salvation. We know about salvation. All of heaven goes into a celebration mode when a sinner returns to the Father. But every time we turn our hearts to receive from Him, there's a celebration, the joy that we bring His heart. Now listen, I really want to back up. I still want to back up to this thing. Do you believe in a God that loves like that? Because the moment we don't believe that, or the moment we say, I don't know if I want to do that, the moment we say, I don't think I want to present my body, are you with me? In that moment, we have decided that probably He didn't choose the best for me. He loves me, but not quite enough. Do you see? Here's the problem. This God who loves us not only invites us to yield our bodies and our minds, our souls to Him, in response to His love. Dear, trust Him. He loves me perfectly. My Creator has a perfect plan for me. Why would I ever choose anything else? Yet I do all the time. Except on those occasions. You understand what I'm saying? And the motivation that would draw us back is a recognition He loves me. And what He has for me is far, far better than anything I might choose.
Here's the crazier part.
Well, you would know then.
If He created me and I go into eternity, He's going to spend eternity with me. So He must really love me.
And He does, and He does.
Also, if you put it in perspective, we love our children, okay? When they messed up, we still love them. So much more that the Father loves us.
Far, far much more. It's almost a assault on God's love to say we love our children. We do, and we do. But our love is microscopic compared to His.
That's what I was going to say, was that how much we love them, and when they make mistakes or when we make mistakes, God is always there forgiving. As we forgive our children, they're God's children also. But he loves us so much more than that.
Oh, so much more.
Because he knew us before we were. Mm-hmm. And that means even before you were born.
Yeah.
He knew you. He knew what you were going to be in this life. And he gave you the choice. But his love is always there. No matter what you do, you mess up, you come back to the Father. He's always there for us. Always.
Yeah. And in love. Yeah. He waits with love. He waits with love. I guess so. Go ahead.
There is an interesting thing that happened one time in the when we were down at the nursing home. And George must have been talking about love. I can't remember what George was saying. But there was a man in a wheelchair back near the back of it. And everybody mostly cleared out at the end before he did. And he was crying. And I didn't, you know, you don't know how to approach exactly. But I went to him and he openly wept before me. And he said, he loves me, but I can't, here I am. In other words, there's nothing I can do. And I know I heard from the Lord to say to him this. I said to him, so if I said to you, I love you, what would you do? What would you say to me? And he says, I'd say, I love you too. And I said, that's what you do to Father. I love you too. That's the choice is, I love you too.
And that's the issue that we face so often is that we...
The man smiled and wheeled down the hall. He stopped weeping. He had his answer.
I'm going to try to read this. You know, when you get my age, it's it doesn't fit anywhere. All right, you. No, I'll read it. Read it.
He nailed our unlovable places to the cross in a divine exchange for the person he knew us to be by the creation of the world. He knows us as perfected in... He knows us as proportionately perfected in him.
There we are. You got it. You got it wrong. She got it wrong. What was it supposed to say?
Just the last line. He knows us.
He nailed our unlovable places to the cross in a divine exchange for the person he knew us to be before the creation of the world. He knows us as perfected in him. So there was a divine exchange.
And we needed that divine exchange, and love paid the price to make it possible. Now, I'm trying to get us to the place of seeing God's love in a new level. And of course, the cross is the ultimate picture. But somehow, I'm concerned that we embrace it emotionally, or not just say, yeah, he died for my sins. Yes, he did. But I don't want to just sort of, yeah, he died for my sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. Okay, yeah. I want us to be able to embrace that at a deeper level than we've ever embraced it before. Because every time we have an argument about whether this or that, or present my body, or be conformed to his agenda rather than the world's, every time it comes down to this: does he love me with that perfect love? And is his perfect love equipped with perfect wisdom concerning me? Am I safe to do this thing that he calls me to? And if there's any of me in me that says, well, I don't know if he loves me. Maybe I screwed up too bad yesterday, and maybe whatever. Then I'm less likely to make the choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? The choice comes back to, what do I believe about this God? Do I believe that he loves me personally, intimately, perfectly, and that he has a perfect plan for my life, and that no matter how I screwed up yesterday, the perfect plan is still on his mind to accomplish? Do I believe that about him? Or do I think, well, he used to feel that way about me, but not anymore. We have a wrong perception of God if we have a used to, and now or then. Do you follow me? When you talk about an eternal God who has loved us from everlasting to everlasting, it isn't yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's wiped out by the eternal God who loves us eternally, perfectly, and with the all wisdom that he has. Now, I can't make that happen for you or for me. What am I asking to make happen? What I'm looking for, what I want to make happen, is a fresh revelation of the perfection of his love for us individually. And not something that just suddenly came on board, but something that has been there from eternity to eternity, and we're coming on board to that. We step into his love. As a part of that, I'd like to say, in his love, there is an abundance of wisdom. I almost don't want to separate the two. I want them to be melded together, that whatever love calls to us about, there is the abundant wisdom, eternal wisdom of God, wrapped right in the middle of that, wrapped up in his love. And so how am I going to make that happen? I can't make it happen, but I can show you the need for it. And I can also show you this, that God would like us to know that, not just between our ears, but all the way up and down our entire beings, that we would know that this God who loves us eternally, loves us passionately, loves us with wisdom and grace, and wants us to step into that love. You know what Jesus said? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so we run around trying to keep his commandments. That's not the point. If we love him, it isn't because we tried hard. We love because he first loved us. We need a revelation of that first loving us, okay? And so that's what I would like for Father to do for us this morning. Yes, go ahead. There's a baptism of fire and love. Let's have that. Lord, we could use a fresh baptism of fire and of love. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now listen, I can't make it happen. But I do believe that Father would like us to step further into the reality of his love. Step further into the abundance of his grace. He's not lacking. He is not lacking, and he is not holding back. If there's a kink in the hose, it's at our end of the hose, not his end. He's got his end full bore. Here it comes. If there's a kink at all, it's at our end of the hose. And so, Father, this morning we would like to unkink the hose, and we acknowledge that we have believed lies. We've put your love at a level of man, and we just this morning acknowledge that is a lie. It is not. You are not a man. You are the Almighty God, and that your love is from everlasting to everlasting. And it's not hinged upon how good we are. It's hinged upon how great you are. So I ask, Father, for a release of your love upon your children here today. We pray for a new beginning. A new beginning of walking as children of God, sons and daughters of the living God, rooted in the love of God. And so we pray, we ask in Jesus' name for a fresh flow of your love. In Jesus' name. Now I'd like to just invite you individually that might just would like to repeat that prayer, some kind of prayer like that, saying, Lord, I want a new, fresh revelation of your love because I want to move on with you. I'd like you to pray for yourself or for your brothers and sisters, and let's just agree together in prayer. Would you do that? And I'll give you a mic. We'll just add it into the prayer this morning. In Jesus' name. Al, would you lead us in prayer? Lead us in prayer for a fresh revelation of love.
Lord, we thank you that you first loved us. Lord, that you would open our understanding that we can begin to comprehend and that we could receive your love, Lord, not to hoard it, but that we could pour it out, that
yes.
We would not filter your love, that we would not restrain your love, Lord, but that we would openly receive your love, Lord, and then we would walk in obedience and share it with others.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Someone else want to just lead us in prayer?
Lord, we come against the confusion of the misunderstanding of your love. Give us a greater understanding that we can receive, that we do receive.
Lord, we repent this morning for believing somehow we earned it or by our failure has lost it. We recognize your love is perfect, it's flowing, and it's not earned. We open our hearts to receive it here today in Jesus' name. Marvin?
Father, we just thank you that we see in your word that to receive, we need to ask, seek, and knock. And that there is no trying and there is no doing. Father, that we just need to release and enter in and receive from you. And Lord, may we receive this morning. Father, may we just take it in from you.
Amen.
As we seek your face.
Amen. We open our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Anyone else?
Father, I find it so interesting and comforting that you chose that this be the topic of our teaching today, because it's exactly why I'm here. Amen.
Father, we just acknowledge that your love is perfect. It is true from everlasting to everlasting. It is not contingent on how good we are, nor is it destroyed by how bad we've been. The love brought the blood of Jesus to set us free, to enable us to receive your grace and your provision, to restore your purpose for our lives. And so we acknowledge and we receive, we open our hearts to receive your love here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read to you just a couple of verses and then we'll call it quits until next week. The two verses have to do with love. That shouldn't surprise you at all. The first one is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I want you to notice this. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Romans 5:5. There is no problem on God's end of the hose. Now I want to talk about another verse of scripture that I just read it to you now. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It's also same thing in Matthew and Mark, but Luke 9:23 says this. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There is a thing that stops the flow. It's the same passage that George read. George's verse was, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourself body, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This passage that I read, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I want you to, I just really want you to put the two things together. The flood of his love is available. There's no stopping it. Except when we say, yeah, I have a better idea. I don't feel like doing that. I have always done it this way. And besides, why should I do anything for Estella? You understand? We stop the flow of love by choosing our own agenda. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Following him has to do with walking in love. And it will cost something. Denying the natural desires of the flesh because love wants to do something else. The love is there. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. No lack of love. The problem is, but I want. Now, wait a minute. I want, I'm going to tell you the gospel according to George. I want so much love that I'd be overwhelmed with love and do what pleases the Father. I don't want to ever deny myself and take up the cross. I just want, and so I can't help myself. I just go and do it. You understand? It's for freedom that you set us free. But do not use the freedom to what? Does anybody remember? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. You had to remember some stupid thing like that. In other words, deny. You see the problem. There is an issue here. There is not a lack of love. We'd like to say that all God needs to do is pour out some more and then I'll start making right decisions. And in other words, the problem is him. Wrong. Scripture says he has poured out his love upon us. There is more than enough. So if I could trust him to be true, that he really is the all-wise and the all-loving God, he has made provision. And now I have an opportunity to step into it or not. Shall I step or shall I not? Shall I or shall I not? There's a decision to be made there. And sometimes we say, not today. And sometimes we say, okay, here goes. And we take that little step, and all of a sudden there's enough love to go around. Man, that wasn't so hard. I guess I could do this. I can do this. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the provision is there. The faith or the believing is at issue. Shall I? Back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's begging. I don't know whether it's Paul begging or the Holy Spirit, but he's saying, I beg you, by the mercies of God, through the abundance of his mercy, I beg you, present your bodies to him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is reasonable. Be not conformed to the way the world does it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's got a plan for your life. Step into it. There's enough mercy, there's enough grace to go around, it can happen. We started this session off by saying this particular fellowship is in a new place. We get a new opportunity, a new day in front of us. It's time for transition, time for change. And it starts with the God who loves and calls us to step into what he has for us. And the question is, will we do it? One last thing, which, of course, is the last of the last. You can make your decision here today, and that's good. We often say, okay, let's make a decision. Let's do this. And I say, fine, make a decision. Let's do this. But I want to say this, that sometime between here and next week, there's going to be an opportunity to say, I could do this, or I might not. I could step into this, or I've never done that before. Love might call me here, but there's risks there. You see, the decision, it's made here, but it's also made Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And it's made in the most stupid arenas. You come into the gang and they're all talking about what a screwball your boss is. And love says, don't go there. But everybody else is doing it. You understand what I'm saying? It's almost a non-decision. But that, I want you to get it, that decision either opens the flow of love or it shuts it off. That decision has to do with God accomplishing his ultimate purposes in your life, your destiny. just one small speck of your destiny, one small step. And it happens 1,000 times a day. And you get to choose 1,000 times. I want to make it very clear. The lack of the flow of His love into your life and into your world is not a problem with God. The lack of the flow is, will I allow Him to express that love in this arena? Small arenas are almost the wrong one. In this speck of a decision, will I allow Him to love through me here? And that's the question. And it's always the question. Will I allow Him to love through me? Did you raise your hand or did you scratch your head? You just bought something. I don't know what it was I was selling, but you bought it.
My hand is on the valve that aims the hose. And He provides it. I get to use it.
Yeah. I remember Dave has sometimes has to aim the hose, fire hose, and sometimes it takes more than one man to hold the hose, right?
Yes, it is. It's true.
It takes a lot of manpower to hold the hose because it's coming so fast and furious that it takes more than one man to do it.
Yeah, see, each one of us are in a different stage of our walk with Christ. But the main thing is His love's there. And we keep reaching higher and higher. And the more we invite Him in our life. He will bring you higher.
Yes.
And higher. And higher still.
And so, Lord, this morning we do invite You in. We invite You to take us higher. And higher still. And we recognize that whatever we say here gets to be played out there. Starting today and again tomorrow. That we might manifest Your love. Start where you are. Start where I am. When I mentioned this to Betsy this morning, we were out here in the parking lot. She often says, what's cooking today? And so I told her a little bit about this love message, and she said, maybe we could start that at home. That's about par for the course. We start where we are.
That's right.
We start where we are.
I do have one other quick comment, and it goes right along with what Bonnie was saying. It's God has a trajectory for us. And the more we imbibe His love, and the more we allow Him to release His love through us, and they're both necessary, very, very necessary, essential, the more of that, the more He has for us. And it doesn't stop being more. Can I say to you that if you feel like you've gotten the fullness of it, then repent for the deception received and let your mind be renewed. There's more. One of the words that I felt like the Lord gave me as I was preparing for this service is, let me see if I can find it, is spiritual realities are available to you. Okay, so there are realities that you're not yet aware of. That you're not aware of that are available for you. God has more for you. Greater discernment is available to you. God has important regular updates for you. And improvements. And renewals and more. He's got more for you. Strategic and tactical aspects of your spiritual development and your spiritual activities are available to you. Will you hone your senses to be able to leverage what Father has for you? Will you do it? See, You can or you don't have to. You know that, right? You can or you don't have to. We all have the opportunity to stay where we are or to move ahead. And God would like you to move ahead. He's got more for you.
So, Father, here we are, and we're going to start here right now. But we acknowledge that it will depend on us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and a dozen times on Thursday what we do then. And we recognize that there will be enough love and enough grace and enough wisdom to move on. I pray that you'd remind us, give us a little nudge when we get there and we say, oops, this is it. And may we step into what you have for us. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. Go live a little.